and survive.
Good afternoon. It is 3:15, December 13th, 2018. This is a work session on two cases, PU-18-112 and PU-18-118, regarding the Reliability Performance Plan Award for Xcel and a sale of some assets. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined right here at the table by Commissioner Brian Krasius. Julie Fedorchak is here, but is just out of the room for the moment. We'll be back in just a moment, but we decided to get it kicked off. I don't really have any opening comments on this, except to say that this was applied for last spring. We've had an informal on it. At one point, it was kind of combined with the DOE payment on the nuclear plant and I think something else too, and the commission made a determination to separate those things and get those things done, and so these two issues or two cases are still yet to finally be resolved, and so looking for some direction here. Maybe we can get something on the agenda for next week at our regular meeting scheduled for Wednesday. I didn't have any other opening comments. Commissioner Krasius, do you?
No opening comments.
Okay, why don't we turn this over to staff? Joined here at the table by Patrick Fahn, the director, and Jerry Lean, public utility analyst. I don't know who's going to kick things off here in the case, but anything that I've misstated or that should be added to that to kind of generally start the recording and the discussion, please go ahead and do so.
So I think you did a pretty good job on it. There were two cases here. One case was regarding whether they should have an outage count in their safety and safety statistics that would determine. That would determine whether they met a reward for having good reliability statistics. And that issue was a pole fire that took out a lot of customers in Fargo. There were two or three circuits, I think, on that pole. And so there was a lot of people that went without power. And the company contends that that's an unusual event, an outlier, if you would. And the normalization process they do to account for storms and stuff like that should allow them to remove that outage from their statistics. If they remove that outage from the statistics, then they meet the requirements for that reward, reliability reward. Staff has been a little reluctant to think that that belongs out of there. They haven't actually filed or done anything, but they were concerned with the idea that maybe there shouldn't be the reward. So that leaves it up to
tell me the cause of the pole fire again. Is that the
if I'm remembering right, I think there was some kind of a car involvement in it. I'd have to go back and look though to
it's the salt on the roads and the traffic.
Yeah. Cars.
And the traffic causes a spray or a mist that clings to the poles and then causes sets up an opportunity for arcing, mm-hmm. and then the arcing causes the pole fire. Mm-hmm.
So how is that? I guess the one thing I keep going over on that is how does that tie to? How does that equate to a weather-related event? When it's salt that the city puts down in the streets, yeah. What snowfall, and then spraying the slush and the snow up on the pole?
Well, I don't think that they said it was weather-related.
Well, I thought that's what you were alluding to. But
you don't have to be weather-related on those outings. It just needs to be an outlier.
I see. Oh, you were using that as a comparison?
Yeah, storms. Usually it is storms that cause those kind of adjustments in the city.
All right. No, sorry, Pat. I just heard weather-related, and then I was trying to, because I thought it was salt.
Okay. So it leaves the commission really with...
Who decides the outliers?
I think they do. They make the statistics and throw out the outliers out of the statistics, and they report the statistics.
I think one thing to keep in mind on this is... Yeah, there are wood poles, utility poles all over the state. There is salt that is put down on streets in numerous communities, especially the larger communities across the state. And everyone has to deal with this and contend with this. And you could argue it's a normal part of the equation when you live in North Dakota and you have winter.
That's true.
Well, plus they've been in front of us before on issues relating to pole fires caused by this beet juice, and so they've known it to be a reliability concern.
Yeah, I don't look at it as an outlier.
Do you remember that, Randy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yes, I do.
And they were making efforts to replace those poles for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was that one year that we had quite a few issues all in a row, and it was a lot of it. I came back to the pole fires, and then one of their responses was going to be to replace those, on a not all at once, but
yeah.
I'm not sure that consistent basis. Was the solution replacing the poles, or was it doing something different up on top with the insulators or arms or something
too,
like that?
Maybe that was right.
I think. There was a solution. Yeah. I don't think it was necessarily replacing the poles.
Yeah.
But
I think it falls into the range of standard operating and maintenance in this part of the world. I just don't find it unique.
When we talked about it the first time, it was brought up that that's the very thing that they're supposed to be fixing. Is those kind of incidents with the reliability reward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because that pole had several circuits on it, it was a high-impact pole. So maybe it should have been fixed. So that's that one.
So I'm looking at the IEEE normalization method stamp,
okay.
Which is what was used in our agreement with them, right?
Yep.
For this whole threshold performance.
IEEE,
yeah.
The SADI and SAFI stuff is IEEE's calculations and stuff, the way that's done.
And IEEE kind of outlines what is an outlier, but there's still judgment to be used in what you ultimately determine to allow. Okay.
And so on that one, I guess we just need a decision on whether to allow the pole fire is an outlier or not.
I'm sorry to be a little bit late. How many different things are still pending in this particular decision? Is it just this reliability thing? Have we already tackled the others that were part of it?
Well, there's this, which is, and they can be separate, they're separate cases. This is 112, and then 118 was the sale of some assets, and whether that money should go back to the consumers or whether that's company.
We did the DOE settlement and the over-earnings.
Separately.
Separately to get those done since they were ready to go.
I see. Okay, yep.
But these two would be exclusive of one another. We could go
yep.
one way with one and the other way with the other. I'm not hearing at this point a lot of support for the reliability award. Or is there more discussion? Is someone just forming a question in their mind for staff? Tell us, Jerry, about 118, then, the sale of the asset.
118, the company sold something. I can't remember what it was.
Fuel, oil, inventory, and stuff.
There we go.
Tanks.
And they want to, I guess, pretend they didn't sell it when it comes time to keeping their return. They were expecting, since this is their inventory, they were expecting to get a return on that. They sold it, so that means it comes out of the rate base and they don't get the return. And so what they're asking for is the commission to recognize that they it cost them some money to sell that thing. And it was good for the consumers to do that. But they'd like to at least keep some of that money that they were giving up in order to sell it. And if I'm remembering right, I think it was about $90,000 that they wanted to to keep.
So the total gain for the company was $3.5 million, along with an estimated $1.5 million invest-related savings. And then they said the North Dakota portion of the gain is $218,000, of which the company is requesting to retain $90,000, representing the net present value of the foregone future returns on the assets and fuel inventory.
Foregone future
returns on assets and fuel. So because they sold it, they don't get a return on that.
No, it's not in the rate base anymore.
Is that something that you would typically do when the company sells something?
I haven't.
Give them the future return they would have earned on it?
This is a new one to me.
Well, it seems like if you do that, as I was trying to think this through, then does someone else make the argument that they should get rate of return on something they didn't buy? Because they didn't buy it? If you can get rate of return for something you sold, because now you're not getting rate of return anymore, then should you get rate of return on something you chose not to buy? But
I mean,
you could have bought it.
Yeah. If there were costs that they had to endure, wouldn't those be taken off the profits of the gain? If there were costs related to the sale?
They're saying that their foregone returns was a cost of the sale.
Okay, well, that's... I was thinking more like... advertising. I don't know where they sold the stuff or something. That's actually
Well, if you have a cost of removal, that's what we call a cost of removal.
Sure.
You would have if you have a cost of selling something, that's part of the depreciation calculation, and the cost of removal is included in the recovery of depreciation expense.
Yeah.
So that's typical accounting for investments and taking things out of service.
Wouldn't that work its way, though, into their expense line anyway?
Well, no, it wouldn't be an expense. It would be money they didn't get.
Oh, that's right.
Gain achieved on the sale of its. Net present value of the foregone future returns on the assets and fuel inventory.
What type of a precedence does this set if it was a very large asset, for example?
Not that.
Yeah, because in the whole scheme of things, this isn't a large amount when we're dealing with tens of millions in some cases. But what if how would we look at it if you applied it to an asset that was 10 times?
Yeah, like a power plant?
Or 50 times.
I think that this would be setting a precedent as far as I can.
It seems like it.
Because I don't remember any request like this before.
Right. But that's a concern.
So that's, I think you got to the point of my question. We've never done anything like this before,
not
I presume.
That I can recall.
And there's been asset sales in the past, right?
Sure. We had MDU in their gas case had, they had the housing units. They had the housing units in their case, and they lost money on those, and they asked for recovery of the loss money, but they didn't. And then, so if you give them recovery of losses, you would expect that they would put gains, you know, into the determination of rates as well.
Did we give them that loss? I don't think we did. I don't remember.
There was a settlement.
There was a settlement, yeah. So it never had gotten decided.
But over the years, other companies have sold assets from time to time. And
yes.
I mean, I can't think of one specifically other than the one you just mentioned, and like you say, that got settled, but I don't recall that we've ever.
I don't recall any.
Approved some ROE amount on
something.
It.
Yeah.
Creative.
I was thinking the same thing.
So when we did the DOE payment, we didn't net out this 250 as they were requesting back in May.
No.
DOE.
Okay.
And that's all wrapped up.
And that's the all DOE. Wrapped up. Yep. So we just set aside the reliability stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're looking at 90,000 and the 250,000. The 90,000 to me, I don't think that's appropriate. So that one I would say no to. The 250,000, is it all or nothing on that? I mean, there's a couple of things. The company did have good reliability outside of that one thing at the end.
It started at one.
Their point.
And it started at 1.5. Correct. What was the fault?
Well, that's only if they. That's because their earnings were high. It had to be. It was capped at 250 if there was no revenue shortfall.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And they have done a fair amount of investment in that community, and we encouraged them to do it, but we didn't guarantee them any higher rates or anything.
No, but we did include in a rate case there the new switching that they've been calling in teleswitching.
Yeah,
but we had all these reliability issues after that, too.
And then we had the buried cable that they were going to replace because that was causing reliability concerns. And that was included in a rate case as well.
I don't think that was included in the rate case. You do for sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Do you remember?
I don't.
No, I think, well, we had, I mean, we haven't had a rate case with them since 2014 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that buried cable came up.
I think in that case there was additional, but the original
performance plan.
This whole issue broke before we came on board.
Yes,
and
this
the
plan.
Antenna switches and that. And so I think that was already in their rate case before the last one that we have worked on.
Yes, it was.
Seemed like I kind of remember an allowance for replacing cable. Mm-hmm.
But they came back to us after having additional problems and said, we want to do an accelerated, and they laid out a pretty extensive plan. That was after the rate case. I know for certain it was. And we've never committed to how those costs are going to be recovered. I just assumed that they'd be coming to us in the next rate case and saying, here's what we've spent.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with that. I'm not positive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll assume you're right. But the original thing, because it was quite a controversy and sort of a fresh wound with some, as I recall, when in 2013, mm-hmm. when we came on, because there had been this hike and that the previous commissioners had been making this point that, yeah, but we're requiring the engineer to be there. We're requiring the tree trimming, the cable replacement, Intel switches. And so I'm sure they got recovery on that initial part of it.
Okay. So, I mean, at this point, where would the, how, what would be the mechanism for the 100 and, like the 250,000 or whatever number it would be if we were to do it?
I guess I don't know. Do you have any?
Well,
did we discuss a recovery method?
We didn't discuss a recovery method, but we did. I did visit with, well, this wouldn't be on the record though. There is a possibility. And I think they probably already have very close to getting another DOE refund that would be credited back to customers. And so there's a possibility this could be, if you were to grant them the $250,000 award, it could be an offset, offset by the DOE refund.
But then we're lumping things together again and dragging it out a little more.
I guess I should say it a little differently. We could do them at the same time. You know, if the commission were to...
What's the estimated timeline
grant
the DOE when it would actually even...
The last one they got was in November.
Of 17.
So it could be very close now. I haven't heard that they've received it, but...
The negative to that is it doesn't... I'd have to think. I mean, it's not obviously just up to me, but it seems like the reliability bonus gets lost a little bit in the shuffle when you start combining it with other elements. We just broke them apart. Now we're bringing them back together, and that was to expedite the process and get money back to customers. But
from there, I think from the company's view would be the administrative part of separating it and then and having to administer two different, you know, like
bill adjustments.
Yeah.
Well, unlike in this case, let's say that we were going to allow the 250, and let's say that the DOE grant is 750 again. Is it easier to, if it's within a month or two, to just do a $500,000 refund to customers. That's the net. Or to raise their rates to get them to $250,000 for the award and then give a refund of
$750,000. Yeah, that's true.
It almost gets to be just bouncing back and forth more than necessary. But I still have a concern with, I think the fundamental decision we got to make is whether the pole fire is normal or, I can't remember what word you used. An outlier. You know, the real reason for improving reliability should have been to improve reliability because it's what the customers expect and deserve. Now, the commission chose to build in this performance thing and to, when they were very happy that there's been all this progress, but if they only almost made it, to go and then not count something or to count it as an outlier, just to help them over the hump so they do in fact make it when you could argue that they didn't, that seems wrong too.
I'm going to put it another way, but I think similar thought process. Winter is not unique in the Northern Plains, and putting beet juice on roads is not unique in the Northern Plains. So I don't know then if that's the case, how it gets defined as an outlier.
Okay, that sounds like a decision to me. I'm fine with that.
So no on both?
Well, sounds we're not like going to make a final decision, but I, what I'm hearing at this point is that that might be a good way to write an order.
Okay. Well,
we shall return at is it 4 or 4:15, right?
4:15.
Thank you, everyone. So. This work session is concluded.